The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
My wife and I were horribly in debt. I spent a lot to keep her happy, which meant jewelry and clothes and expensive trips to Cabo. Don't get me wrong, velvet was totally worth it. She made me so happy and she was absolutely beautiful. I couldn't stop giving her what she wanted, and she couldn't stop wanting more. We'd been married for 3 years when she came to me with a plan. I don't know where she discovered it, but she found out about an obscure marriage law that only existed in North Carolina, where we live. People call it the mistress law, apparently. If a third person comes in and destroys a marriage, then that person can be arrested and forced to pay financial compensation. It's crazy, right? It's one of those laws from 100 years ago meant to keep women in their place. Anyway, Velvet told me all about this when we were on her yacht. I didn't understand the point, because her marriage was solid. But she had a really twisted plan where we could use this law to get out of debt. I worked in media, so I had plenty of connections with newly rich people who didn't know what to do with all their money. Plus, I was very handsome back then, so it didn't take long to find the perfect victim. Her name was Lola, one of my newer clients. She became famous as an influencer and parlayed her success to a reasonably successful makeup line. She was cute without being beautiful, and too nice to realize when someone was taking advantage of her. We met for a business lunch, where I lathered on the charm and complimented her just enough to lower her defenses. Then I started talking about my marriage, how awful it was, how Velvet and I barely saw each other anymore. I made up a bunch of lies to make it seem like Velvet and I were practically divorced already.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
She didn't quite take the bait. I could tell she was interested. But the fact that I was still officially married was a deal breaker. Her morals were too strong, I guess. So I convinced her to come back to my beach house in a completely platonic way. I said I just needed a friend to help me bring some life to my empty house. That convinced her. Lola came over that afternoon. Velvet was in the guest house, so she could see everything on camera. Admittedly, that added a little excitement to the whole thing. I got Lola to drink with me, and once she got a little tipsy, I stopped acting charming and started acting pathetic. I can't keep living all alone. I thought Velvet was the one, but she just wanted my money. Why couldn't I have met you instead? She consoled me, but she still wasn't willing to get between me and my wife. It was a moral issue with her. I don't know. I like you a lot, but marriage is sacred, and I don't want to be so devious. Come on, it's okay to be a little devious sometimes. One thing led to another, and before nightfall, I had my mistress. I didn't worry about what my wife was thinking, because this was her idea, and she could watch and hear everything on the house cameras. I slept great with Lola that night, and several nights afterwards. I liked that she was so much sweeter and gentler than Velvet. I also enjoyed the twistedness of knowing that Velvet was watching every second. After a week of hookups, Lola was really falling for me. I could tell. I'd feel guilty about it if the manipulation wasn't so much fun. Now that she was emotionally ready, I started gathering evidence of our affair. I convinced her to write me love letters. I had Velvet snap our photos through the window when we were making out. I even stole the lipstick from her purse so that I could use it to stain my shirt collars. Because Lola developed her own makeup, that lipstick was easily traceable back to her. She didn't suspect a thing. She thought we were in love. Pretty soon, we had everything we needed to prove that Lola and I were having a deeply emotional affair. The next step was to go to our lawyer and draft up a claim saying that our marriage was in jeopardy because of Lola's influence, and that we needed a cash settlement to pay for couples counseling and emotional damage. I know it sounds awful, but the law is the law. It took a couple weeks for a lawyer to get everything in order. In the meantime, I started canceling on Lola, using work as an excuse. I assured her I still loved her and still wanted to be with her, but she was getting suspicious. Once the legal papers were ready, I invited her over one more time so that Velvet could catch us in the act and serve her the papers. Lola showed up on time, but something was different. She seemed on edge. "What's wrong, baby?"
"I'm just nervous about my company. I'm unveiling my brand new makeup line and I'm worried it's gonna flop."
She'd just gotten back from a meeting and brought a big bag of all her new makeup with her, just so she could show me. For someone who loved her career so much, showing me her work before anyone else felt weirdly intimate. For the first time since this all started, I had a twinge of guilt. It didn't last long, though. Because a few minutes later, Velvet stormed inside. As planned, she acted furious.
You're sleeping with my husband!
Velvet was an amazing little actress. She truly looked unhinged. She screamed at Lola and I had to physically hold her back. Once Velvet had calmed down enough, she handed Lola the legal papers. Lola looked heartbroken, silently begging me to do something. "I think it'd be best if you leave." I watched her silently trudge toward the door, the legal papers hanging limply in her hand. Then, when she got outside, Velvet slammed the door in her face. I thought that would be the last time I saw Lola until court, but a few seconds later, she pounded on the door.
"Don't let her touch my makeup! That's mine!"
In the chaos, she'd forgotten to take her products with her. She wasn't begging for me to give them back, just to make sure my wife didn't use them. I didn't respond, and eventually she just left. Velvet and I knew that our plan had worked out perfectly. Pretty soon, we were going to use the justice system to get a lot of money from Lola. We'd get out of debt, and if we had enough left over, we'd buy a new boat. And of course, the first thing Velvet did to celebrate was open Lola's makeup bag and try on all her unreleased products. I thought that was a little mean, like kicking someone when they're down. But Velvet was just being Velvet. She put on foundation, mascara, lipstick, a bit of everything. There were even some men's products in there. So she convinced me to try out a face cream. It felt nice, though a little tingly. Then, Velvet started to scream. She collapsed onto the floor, her hands desperately clawing her face. I watched in horror and confusion until the tingles on my face turned into stabbing pain. I was able to call 911 before I blacked out. When I came to, I was in a hospital bed with my face covered in bandages. I didn't see any doctors, but I saw Lola waiting for me to wake up. She was smiling.
"Good morning, my love. I'm so sorry you chose to stay with your wife."
"What did you do?" Lola triumphantly explained that she'd figured out my plan a week ago. She hoped that I wouldn't pick Velvet over her, but in case I did, she brought her makeup kit as a little goodbye present. All the products were laced with a slow-acting acid.
"But don't worry, all you care about is money, and I promise to give you as much as you need. You can spend it on reconstructive surgeries. And I think your wife might need some prosthetics for her missing fingers."
She kissed my bandaged forehead and walked away.
"Remember what you taught me. It's okay to be a little devious sometimes."
I just graduated from UT with a degree in marketing, feeling like the world was my oyster. At 22, I was independent, paying my own bills, and finally out of the dorms. The house was nothing fancy, a cozy one-bedroom in a quiet neighborhood, but it was mine. That evening, I crashed early after a long day job hunting. I woke up to knocking, not on the door, but on my bedroom window. Groggy and confused, I pulled back the curtain to see my neighbors, Audrey and Mike, peering in with wide eyes. Audrey was the one I'd gotten close to. She was very pretty, super fit from all her yoga classes, and always baking cookies or inviting me over for coffee. Mike was quieter, a software engineer who worked from home.
"Victoria, wake up!"
Audrey whispered urgently through the glass.
"Someone just broke into your house. We saw him go in through the back and lock the front door. We tried calling you, but your phone's probably on silent."
My heart dropped. I glanced toward my bedroom door, which was thankfully closed. "Oh my God," I muttered, fumbling for my phone. It was dead. I forgot to charge it. Mike was already on his phone.
"We're calling 911. Open the window. We'll get you out."
They helped lift me through the window. I was shaking as we huddled on their porch, waiting for the cops. The intruder turned out to be some random guy high on something, looking for cash. The police hauled him away, and I was too rattled to go back inside. Audrey insisted I stay on their couch.
"You're safe here, babe. We've got you."
The next morning, over pancakes and coffee, I broke down. I hugged Audrey tight, tears streaming.
"I owe you guys big time. Seriously, you saved my life."
Audrey smiled that warm, reassuring smile of hers.
"You don't owe us anything, Victoria. We're just glad you're okay."
Mike nodded, sipping his coffee. "Us neighbors look out for each other." That weekend, my phone buzzed with a text from Audrey.
"Hey, Victoria, about what you said, owing us. I was thinking, maybe we could spend a night together. Just you and me. Mike would watch from the closet, hidden. What do you think?"
I stared at the screen, my stomach flipping. It was so blunt. I always wanted to experiment, but this, with a married couple? I was a woman of my word, though, and part of me was curious. Audrey was gorgeous, and I'd always admired her confidence. I texted back, "Okay, I'm in." Saturday night, I showed up at their place. We started with drinks. Audrey put on some music and we laughed about neighborhood gossip. Then she suggested spin the bottle.
"It's old school, but fun," she said with a wink.
Mike grinned. "Let's make it interesting. Truth or dare?" It landed on me first. "Dare," I said.
"Take off your clothes. Strip for us."
I hesitated, my cheeks burning.
"Really? Already?"
Audrey nodded encouragingly.
"It's just us. No judgment."
They both stared, but not in the way I'd hoped. Audrey tilted her head.
"Victoria, stop. You're not really our type, hon. You're a bit too soft around the edges."
Mike chuckled. "Yeah, your physique isn't doing it for me. You can get dressed and head out." I froze, humiliated.
"What? But I thought..."
Audrey shrugged.
"Sorry, Victoria. It was worth a shot. Thanks for playing along."
Tears stung my eyes as I walked home. How could they? I felt hideous, rejected, my self-confidence shattered. For months, I threw myself into the gym. Pilates classes at dawn, weights in the evening. I was angry. I replayed that night over and over, their casual dismissal, like I was disposable. I started journaling, venting my rage. One entry read,
"The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
They think I'm not good enough? Fine. I'll make them regret it. It took me a while, but in a few months, I transformed. Leaner, stronger, and yeah, hotter. I created a fake persona online, Leela Voss. I researched Mike first. I knew he was on LinkedIn, Twitter, basic stuff. I found his Reddit handle from old posts about coding. Perfect. I messaged him anonymously through a throwaway account, showed interest in coding. He took the bait. Who is this? My name's Leela. Teach me to code, please. We chatted a lot. In a few days, I transitioned our conversation. We flirted for days. I sent teasing photos. He was hooked. God, you're hot. Tell me more about you. Patience, I replied. Let's meet. Hotel downtown. I wore a wig, heavy makeup and wig, unrecognizable. Mike showed up eager, nervous.
Leela? Wow, you're even hotter in person.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Come here. I recorded it all with a hidden camera. How was it? I whispered.
Damn, Leela, you're incredible. Audrey scammed me all these years. I never knew it could be this good.
Bingo. Admissions of cheating. We met three more times over weeks. Between meets, I'd text romantic things. Missed you last night. He'd respond obsessively. I can't stop thinking about you. Slowly, I convince him to cheat more deeply. Tell me you love this secret life. He confessed. I do. It's addicting. By the fourth meet, he was spilling secrets. She has these panic attacks if I don't text her back within 5 minutes. Full-on sobbing meltdowns. She secretly takes anxiety meds. But she tells everyone she's naturally calm and grounded from yoga. She can't have kids, he said suddenly. My breath hitched. Doctors told her 2 years ago, early ovarian failure or some shit. She lies to her friends and says, I don't want kids yet. I had enough. One evening, I anonymously emailed Audrey the videos, edited clips, faces blurred except his, but voices clear. The subject, your husband's secret. She texted me the next day. Our real numbers, as if nothing had changed. Hey, Victoria, everything okay? Haven't seen you around. I played dumb. Yeah, just busy with work. I watched from afar, their argument spilling onto the porch. One night, I heard Audrey scream.
Who the hell is Leela? How long has this been going on?
I don't know, Audrey. She's just someone. It meant nothing.
Nothing? You're obsessed!
Mike stammered. Mike moved out first, crashing at a buddy's. He texted Leela desperately. Where are you? I need to see you. I miss you. I never replied. I completely disappeared as Leela. Audrey went crazy. I saw her at the grocery store once, eyes red. Hair unkempt. She cornered me in the aisle.
Victoria, have you heard anything? Mike's cheating with some woman. It's destroying me.
I feigned sympathy.
Oh no, that's awful. I'm sorry.
She whispered. I think she's still out there, taunting me. I get anonymous messages saying he never loved me.
Wow, that's cruel.
You'll get through this, sweetie, I said, hugging her. I moved out soon after, to a new apartment downtown. I kept going to the gym, but now for me. My confidence, sky high. They said my physique wasn't their type. But now I lived in their mind rent-free.
Hey fam, Mr. Broccoli this side. Do subscribe and hit the like button if you're enjoying this video.
My name's Andrew. I met Liam during the June move-in rush at USC. The campus was mostly empty except for us film school stragglers taking summer intensives, and the housing office had thrown us together in a tiny two-bedroom off Jefferson Boulevard. He rolled up in his car, windows down, blasting something upbeat through the speakers. Tall, curly-haired, wearing a faded Coachella 24 tee, even though neither of us had gone. He flashed that wide, easy grin and said, "You must be Andrew. I'm Liam. Hope you like late-night tacos." We clicked instantly. Both of us were film majors chasing the same delusional Hollywood dream. Both hated mornings. Both could talk for hours about camera lenses and bad student scripts. Liam was the ideal roommate from day one. Rent appeared in my Venmo the moment the landlord texted. The kitchen stayed clean without anyone saying a word. When the power flickered during a heatwave blackout, he was the one who rigged string lights off a neighbor's extension cord and turned it into an impromptu backyard movie night with a portable projector. "We're living the indie film aesthetic," he'd say, passing me a sweating bottle of Modelo. I never had to chase him for anything. But even the best roommates have a glitch. Liam's showed up only at night, deep in the small hours when the city finally cooled off a little and the rest of the apartment was supposed to be quiet. It didn't happen every week, maybe once or twice a month, but when it hit hard. The first time I got blindsided was a sticky Wednesday night in mid-July. I'd spent the evening at this pop-up bar in an arts district with some second years, drinking mezcal cocktails and pretending we knew what we were talking about when the conversation turned to A24 distribution deals. By the time I stumbled home around 12:30 a.m., I didn't even bother with pajamas. Kicked off my sneakers and face planted onto the mattress. Sleep came fast and heavy. Ooh! Eyes flew open, adrenaline dumping into my veins. I sat bolt upright, fumbling for my phone in the dark. Was Liam hurt? Intruder? Heatstroke hallucination? I was already swinging my legs off the bed when the next part came.
"I've been on my own for long enough. Maybe you can show me how to love. Maybe."
But Liam wasn't just singing along. He was performing the hell out of it. He'd do the opening lines in this exaggerated, breathy voice and then launch into the chant.
"I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch."
And then the big payoff.
"Ooh."
Headphones on. Track muted to me. Just his voice, passionate and a little pitchy, looping the same 15-second section endlessly. Verse tease, chorus hook, reset. I lay there in the sticky dark counting. 10, 20, 50. It dragged on for nearly an hour before silence returned. Morning. Him blending a smoothie, table fan blasting. I poured coffee, voice rough. "You good?" He paused. "Why?" "Because I heard you doing full weekend theater at like 2 a.m. Thought someone was getting abducted." Face went scarlet. "You heard? I had the noise cancelers on, I swear." "They're not walls of sound, dude." "Ah, I get fixated. One hook just lives rent-free in my brain, and I have to exercise it. I'll keep it quieter, promise." I waved it off. It's cool. Just startled me. Save the blinding lights energy for daylight? He laughed, mortified. Deal. Weeks later, it switched back to blinding lights again. Or sometimes drifted to other weekend tracks like Save Your Tears. But the obsession always circled back to that same explosive payoff. I was editing a short at 1:30 a.m., windows open for any breeze, when the loop started.
"I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch.
I knocked on his door. Liam, got a rough cut due tomorrow. Can we pause the synth pop concert tonight? Door opened. He looked guilty. Headphones off. Sorry, lost track. Stopping now. He did, for a bit, and then it crept back. Always the same pattern. Headphones on, voice full blast on the hook. I started with the earplugs. White noise app maxed, door shut. It muffled, but never silenced. And then Mia entered the scene. Mia was a second-year law student at LMU. Sharp-witted. Texas drawl that thickened when she was fired up or flirty. We met at a 4th of July rooftop in Echo Park. Fireworks exploding, everyone buzzed on rosé and heat. She was arguing that streaming had killed cinema with a common friend. I jumped in, sided with her, and by midnight we were sharing an ice cream. She started staying over most weekends. She loved Liam, initially. "He's so damn sweet," she'd say, watching him organizing the fridge. "Y'all are like brothers with better playlists." The tipping point hit on a scorching Thursday in late August. Santa Ana's blew hot trash through the windows. Temp still 90 at midnight.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
I had a 5:30 a.m. call for a student music video shoot in the Valley. Mia and I spent the evening in my room until we passed out at around 12:45. At 1:20... the ritual restarted.
Ooh, I'm sad. Ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch. I said, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep until I feel your touch.
Mia shot up like she'd been shocked. What the actual hell?
Ooh.
I groaned. Liam, his summer obsession. Ignore it. She listened 30 seconds, jaw set.
The weekend again? At 1:30? When you're up before dawn?
Yeah, it'll fade. It didn't. Loop after loop. I'm blinded by the light. Ooh. Sarah flung the sheet off. Nope. Babe, she was already up. Kitchen drawers banged. Cast iron clanged. No knock. She pushed Liam's door open. Frying pan raised like a battle axe.
Ooh, Say, ooh, I'm blinded by the lights. No, I can't sleep.
Liam, honey, I adore you. You're the sweetest, but Andrew's on set in 4 hours. I'm trying to sleep in this hell heat, and you've been screaming about blinding lights like a broken synth for 25 minutes! Jeez. Jesus. Okay, stopping right now. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. We clear? Frantic nod. Crystal, never again. Swear on everything. She held his gaze a beat, and then turned, walked back. She climbed in, pulled me close. I stared. You just smacked my roommate with cookware. Educated. Big difference. I laughed until my sides ached. We slept with the fan whirring, city humming. Next morning, Liam emerged with a small knot on his forehead, 3 iced coffees in hand. Set them down silently. Mia took one, sipped. You live through the night, sugar? He rubbed the spot. Barely, but message received. No more midnight ooze. I'll meditate or something. We all burst out laughing. Ruse faded in days. Habit vanished. Freshman year, I thought the hardest thing I'd have to survive was homesickness. I was wrong. My first real roommate in college was named Evan. That was his name, Evan. But I rarely use it in my head anymore. In my memory, he exists more like a condition than a person. A tightness, a pressure. He moved in with labeled plastic bins and color-coded folders. His bed was made military tight. His desk was bare except for a lamp positioned at a perfect 90-degree angle and a framed photo of his parents, both smiling too hard. My side, by contrast, looked like a crime scene by week 2. Tees draped over my chair, jeans piled on the floor, notebooks everywhere. Normal shit. College shit. At first, we got along. Hey man, you cool if I vacuum tonight? He asked during the first week. Yeah, sure, I said, surprised he even asked. We talked about classes, about music, about how weird it felt to be away from home. We weren't friends, but we were friendly, civil. I thought I got lucky. Then he got a girlfriend. Her name was Lauren. I knew that because she had been roommates with my ex, my very short-lived, messy summer relationship that barely counted as a girlfriend, but apparently counted enough for resentment. Lauren didn't like me from the moment she saw me. She never said it outright, not at first. It was in the way she didn't look at me, in how her body stiffened whenever I walked in how she'd whisper something to Evan and he'd suddenly go quiet. At first, she came over on weekends, then Thursdays, then random Tuesdays. Eventually, she was there more than I was. And that's when it started. Hey, Ryan, Evan said one afternoon, standing awkwardly by his bed. Lauren's coming over in, like, 20 minutes. Okay, I said, not looking up from my laptop. Do you think you could maybe head out for a bit? For how long? He hesitated. I don't know, a while? Sure, I've got people to see anyway. That was the first time I left. The second time came the next day. Then the day after that. Soon, it didn't matter what time it was. 2 in the afternoon, midnight, 1 in the morning on a Friday. Hey man, can we have the room? Every time. And every time, I left. I crashed on friends' floors, hung out in common rooms until they closed, walked around campus until my legs hurt. Once, when it was cold and late and I didn't want to bother anyone, I slept on a bench by the lake. I remember waking up before sunrise, my teeth chattering, the wind cutting through my hoodie. I remember thinking, this is f***ing insane. I stopped leaving. The next time he asked, I said, no. He stared at me like I'd slapped him. What do you mean, no? I live here too, and I've got homework. Lauren crossed her arms.
Wow, seriously?
I'm not kicking you out. You can hang out, I'm just not leaving. Evan's face turned red. You're being really inconsiderate. Inconsiderate? I've been gone every night for a month. You're messy as hell. Your s*** everywhere. It stresses me out. My s*** is on my side of the room, I said. Dirty clothes don't kill people. They do when you're a pathetic slob. Dude, my parents don't drive 4 hours each way to do my laundry at 6 a.m. Lauren scoffed.
That's disgusting.
What's disgusting is acting like this is your private hotel room. That night, I was sitting at my desk finishing an assignment when they walked in again. We need the room, Evan said. No, I'm working. Lauren rolled her eyes.
Unbelievable.
They turned off the lights. The room went dark except for my laptop screen. I stared at the switch for a second, and then calmly reached over and turned on my desk lamp. Bright, white, flooding my side of the room. Evan walked over and shut it off. I turned it back on. Stop, he said. No. He slammed his hand on my desk. You're doing this on purpose! Yeah, I am. Lauren grabbed her bag.
Let's go! He's being a stupid.
As they left, Evan knocked my stack of books onto the floor. I sat there shaking, staring at the mess, realizing that something irreversible had just happened. The next morning, there was banging on the door. Not knocking, banging. I opened it to find his parents and younger sister standing there like an angry firing squad. His mother didn't even introduce herself.
What have you been doing to my son?
She demanded.
I...
What? You bully him, his father said. You threaten him.
With a knife, the sister added.
What the hell are you talking about?
You worship Satan, the mother said, pointing at me. He told us everything.
I felt like I had stepped into the wrong movie. I don't even own a knife. And I'm not satanic. I'm not anything. They started packing his things while yelling at me, dumping trash onto my side of the room.
You should be ashamed, the mother said. We're calling the school.
Please do, I said, my voice shaking. Please. They told me to leave. I did because I didn't know what else to do. I went to the cafeteria, numb, barely eating. When I came back, my side of the room looked like a bomb went off. But he was gone. I thought it was over. 2 days later, the head of Resident House knocked on my door. We've had some complaints. I need to search your room. For what? A knife. He tore through everything. Opened drawers, broke my fan, left my stuff scattered everywhere. I didn't find anything, but this is serious.
Is it?
Because none of it's true. He didn't answer. That night, I called my dad. I told him everything. He listened quietly, and then said, "They crossed a line." The next day, he called the school. He used words like lawsuit and defamation. I didn't hear from Resident Housing again. Evan never apologized. He told everyone his version. I lost a few friends, gained clarity about others. By spring, he was gone. Dropped out. Disappeared. I stayed. Years later, I still think about that room. About how easy it is to paint someone as a monster when you're used to getting your way.
My best friend Tori slept with my brother Ben during our big ski weekend last year. I was so upset. I warned Tori that my brother was off limits. There were so many other guys at the lodge. Eligible bachelors and whatever. Why did she have to sleep with my brother? I felt like she stabbed me in the back. We got into a really big argument, and I told her that I never wanted to see her again. And guess what? I didn't. Because that afternoon, she went out skiing alone and never came back. When she left, the weather was perfect, but things changed very quickly, and she got caught in some kind of snowstorm. We all assumed that she died, but they never found the body. This all happened last winter, and I'm still not over it. I feel so guilty that our last conversation was such a terrible argument. When my boyfriend Steve suggested another ski trip exactly 1 year after Tori's disappearance, I thought the idea was terrible. How could we have fun with the memory of Tori's death looming over us the whole trip? So I said no. I said under no circumstances would I want to go back to the same ski lodge. There was just too many bad memories. I thought Steve understood how I felt. He was always so supportive, but he said that he was still going to go without me. I tried not to be upset, even though I kind of was. I felt like Steve was betraying Tori's memory too. And then my brother Ben called me up and changed my mind. He explained how guilty he felt over Tori's death because he was the one who caused the argument in the first place. He was the reason that she went out into the snowstorm without me. I hadn't realized that Ben felt guilty as I did. He explained that the reunion trip would be the best way for him to overcome that guilt. And hearing this logic from him made me reevaluate things. Maybe this would be a good trip. Maybe it would help me get some closure. So I called Steve and told him that I changed my mind. That weekend, we packed our bags, piled into Ben's SUV, and headed up to the ski lodge. The place looked exactly the same. It really was a beautiful lodge, wooden, spacious, and rustic. The snow-covered peaks were gorgeous. On that first day, Steve and I hit the bunny slopes while Ben and his other friends hit the harder peaks. I tried to enjoy myself. I really did. But I couldn't stop thinking about Tori. We all got back into the lodge that evening. We were sitting by the fire. Ben was filming himself on his phone. Some of his friends were into it, and a couple weren't. I guess he'd spent all day filming himself for TikTok. His whole speech about feeling guilty was just BS. He just wanted us all to come back here so he could make videos about moving on after tragedy. He was using the anniversary of Tori's death to get more followers. Steve and I were sitting by the fire when Ben walked directly towards us while talking into his phone. He was live streaming, and he was going to make us be a part of it too. Hey guys, tell the world how you're feeling right now. I covered my face with my hand and looked away. Steve was a bit more diplomatic. He looked into Ben's phone and said, "We're fine, thank you," with as much finality as he could. Ben got the hint and scurried off. I thought that would be the end of it, but the next day was even worse. Ben filmed everything we did. And worse, he kept following me and Steve around with his phone. Throughout the day, he posted clips of us skiing and sipping cocoa. He added sad music and captions like, "moving on," or "honoring her memory." He was in a lot of his videos, but more and more of them were just of me and Steve, but mostly me. I kept telling him to stop, but he refused. He said he was doing this for Tori. I wanted to punch him. At the end of the day, Steve and I were ready to head back inside and put our ski stuff away when Ben ran over. He asked if I wanted to do one more trip up the mountain. I told him no. He just wanted more footage of me. "Then let's make a deal," he said. "If we go up one more time, I promise I will never film you again." It seemed like some kind of trick, but I knew that my brother never went back on his word. If I did this, he'd stop making everything so awkward, so I agreed. Steve asked if he could come with us, but I knew he was just being supportive. He was already exhausted, and his knee was bugging him. I told him that I'd be okay, and then he left. Ben and I took a ski lift up to the mountain, where we were high up in the air. He took out his phone and started live streaming. Hey guys, it's Ben again. I'm here with my sister. She's the one in all those videos, having an absolute blast, even though it's the anniversary of when she murdered Tori, the love of my life. Before the meaning of his words fully sank in, he turned the phone camera towards me. Say hi to the world. Now's your chance to finally come clean. I think you have to. Because if you don't... He started wildly rocking our ski lift. I had to grab the bar. What are you doing? I screamed. He didn't answer. Instead, he just held the phone in my face, filming me close up. All this time, my brother blamed me for Tori's death? He thought I murdered her. And this whole trip was an elaborate way for me to make me confess publicly. I didn't kill her, I screamed. He rocked the ski lift even harder. We still had at least a minute before we reached the top of the mountain. Tell the truth, he said.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
I didn't kill her! He screamed at me. Kicked me with his foot. He went into a rage, kicking and kicking me until I'd plummet off to my death. I wrapped both my arms around the bar. He kicked me one more time, but I'd twist to the side just as his foot was about to hit my thigh. He was pushing so hard that he lost the grip on the bar and slid off. I watched in horror as my brother fell hundreds of feet to the snowy ground below. His phone was in his hand the whole time, filming everything. My brother never got the confession that he wanted, but at least he went viral. Steve and I had a long, silent ride home.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.